Jesus, your sweet presence is worth everything. Just to stand here in your presence and feel your closeness. Almost hear your heartbeat. And this is just comfort. Don't worry, it's all fine. Don't worry. And even when I can't feel you close to me, you haven't left. You're still here. Lord, I would give anything just for your presence. There is nothing that is more worthwhile than just being with you. And I'm changed. And my heart is at peace. And I experience your loveliness. And I gaze upon your beauty, Jesus. And I tell you, you're magnificent. Nothing more than you, Jesus. Yes. It's waves of your love washing over us, putting love in our hearts so we can give it back to you. Jesus. So amazing. So amazing.
I just felt the Lord saying that in this place, He's prepared a table before us. And it's right in the middle of the darkness. It's right in the presence of our enemies. He says He lays a table. He says He lays a table and it's laden with good things. Good things. And He says right now, just reach out and take what you need. Just take peace. Just take His peace into your heart right now. He's shown me that there are many Marthas in this place, many people running around, so busy, trying to make things happen, trying to make ends meet. Trying, and God says, but I provide for you only one thing. Mary, he said to Mary, only one thing is necessary. And the Lord says, when you seek my kingdom, I will add all these things that you run around trying to get. I add them to your life. And so right now He just says, if you need provision, just receive it. Just tell Him what you need. Receive it in your spirit. Receive it by faith right now, because He lays a table before us, a table laden with His goodness. And He says, in this place you'll find peace. In this place you'll discover the love you've been seeking. His love never fails, never gives up. His love, it's like He's standing there with His arms held out wide to all His children. And some are closer than others are further away. And some feel like John. They feel like the loved one. But others feel like, I don't think He feels the same about me as He does about my brothers and sisters. And God says, no, there is room at my table for all my kids. All of my kids are welcome at my table. Come and feast. Come and feast at the river of delights. Come and feast at my table. There's always more than enough.
He says, come and buy without money. There's no price. He paid the price. He paid the price and invites you to the banquet. Just come and help yourself. There's more than enough. Drink of his loveliness. Drink of his life. Fill yourself. Fill yourself with him. Jesus. 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 Even where you are right now, he says, I'm so close. You reached your hand out, you touched me. I'm so close. You might feel that I'm far away, but I'm right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is doing extraordinary things in the world right now. Here in London, God is doing the most extraordinary things. God is raising up the most amazing people. God is raising up saints all over the place. Men and women with a different heart. Men and women going for something much bigger. Men and women who've caught a glimpse of something much greater than their own lives. Men and women who are prepared to pay everything to get the pearl of great price. Because they've seen it. They've seen the pearl. And once you've seen the pearl, you're spoilt for anything else. You don't want anything else. Because only the pearl's going to do now. Young men and women, old men and women, middle size, who've seen the pearl and they're going for it. Sharabara Sindarava Soravaya Barukishendaravara Sibarko. Thank you. Please don't get up and go to your seats. Just stay where you are. I love it. I'll sit on the floor too if you will. I just want to invite my friend Chris to come here. Chris is one of these guys that's seen the pearl. And I just want Chris to come and tell you about the pearl and about himself. And Chris, come and tell us why you're here in London first.
About a year ago, I was praying, and I'm from Holland, Michigan, in the United States. And about a year ago, Jesus told me that on September 15, 2011, I was to move to London. And I was just like, that cannot be. It's too specific. That can't be God. It's just got to be me. But just in case it is, you, God, I'm willing, but I don't see how this is possible. And but if you make it happen, I'll do it. And I guess kind of my story in coming here is one of me, God just like showing his ridiculous provision as you kind of just step out. Even with, I've been so full of doubt. But it's just like, you know, like these little steps, and he's just been faithful every little step of the way. So, when I first got the call, I realized that I didn't know anyone. I didn't know how I was going to get here. Didn't know anything, but I knew I needed money, and so I was like, "Well, surely I need to start saving up, God." And he's like, "No, you need to start giving away." And I was like, "What?" And so God had been birthing these dreams and visions and stuff for me for London. And then I was ready just to start going for it. They'd taken those dreams, and then he literally just started having me sending people, and he would tell me, like, this person needs this much, give that to them, this person, I'm like, I don't even have that much in all my money. He's like, that's okay, you can save up. And so he really just, what he seems to be doing often is he'll give us dreams and visions and plans and hopes, but they're never meant for us to, like, hold on to and cling to. They're just to, he likes us to live with open hands, so he can put more in, but also so he can take stuff out as need be. And what he's been doing my whole life is just kind of, as long as I've been walking with him, I've been realizing this at least, is that he'll give you dreams, hopes, and plans. But we always have to be willing to let them die, because he's got the best. He really does have the best for us. And that's, I grew up in the church, and I knew that in my head for years and years, and I'm just coming to actually believe it. After walking with him for 6.5 years, like, I'm just, like, just in the past couple of weeks. I've had all these dreams and visions and hopes for London, and God just seemed to, each time I would start going for it, he would just be like, nope, give it all away. Nope, give it all away. And I'm just like, God, I'm getting, like, I'm not getting towards these dreams. I'm chasing after them. And he just, what he's put in my heart is that it's obedience. Obedience is the places that we're most productive in the kingdom. And so I've just been having to step out and be like, okay, God, you say that you have the best for me, that you desire evil for me and not good, or good for me and not evil, and plans to prosper and not to harm. And was there something specific that was just like wanting me to share, or just? Yes. Okay. On my way, for coming here, God had kind of put in my heart that I needed to get trained, and there's a training session in Hawaii through YWAM, and I was like, all right, God, I'm going to go, and, like, this is what you want for me, and I started just getting really excited about it, and so I was like, okay, I need to start saving, and he's like, nope, Chris, again, you need to start giving, and I had a friend named Jacob, and God's like, I want you to send Jacob. And so tell him that he's supposed to go, and then also that you're going to send him. And so, again, my dream died, and I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go. And we saved up for Jacob and got him going, and then it was a week and a half before the program was to start, and I had no money. I had no money for YWAM. I had no money for London, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. And within a week and a half, thousands of dollars kind of poured in and allowed me to get here. And I came with a ticket and a passport, and I'm just like, God, I don't know. It's a miracle I got through customs. Just here, and I don't really know how long I'm here. I feel like at least for the Olympics. But practically, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. And when God first kind of spoke to me about coming here, I was like, all right, I'm going to do missions. That's what I was born to do. This is it, God. Yes. And he's like, Chris, I'm not sending you to London to do missions, and that's not what you were born to do. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm so confused. Why am I going? And he's like, Chris, I'm sending you there so that you would know me. And that's what you were born to do. And so, like, wherever you guys are in your lives, sometimes we're like, we don't want to waste our lives, and we want to live it for God, and we want to do good things. We want to change the world. Amen. And we've got all these dreams and hopes and plans, and God will see a lot of those to fruition. But so long as we're going after him and we're getting to know him and we're seeking him above all else, like, we are fulfilling our purpose on the earth. Like, we're being productive. There will never be a moment when you reach heaven where you're like, oh, I really regret that time in prayer I wasted. Like you'll never regret a moment in prayer. You'll never regret a moment of seeking him. You only regret all the times you could have or should have, you know? Like, this life is about him. It's just him. And as we go after him, like we've been saying, like, he just provides everything else. Like, you seek first the kingdom, and everything gets provided. But it's not, it's easy to talk about after the fact, after the provision has come. But when you're going through it, it's kind of rough. So I got to London, And practically, I didn't know what I was going to do. And this is about a month ago. And so I was put up, I got, had some friends put me up in their living room, and I've kind of just been staying there, not knowing what to do except for, to seek God and to get to know Him and find fellowship. And I can't tell you how many times my money has run out. And it's like, London is so expensive. And I don't, and He also put on my heart not to ask for any money, but just to pray for everything I needed. I don't think support letters are wrong at all. I've written plenty in the past, but it just, it's all about obedience again, you know? So, but He told me not to ask for any money and just to pray for everything. So just been praying. And how it's kind of happened is I'll come down to my last pound or two, and then like I'll start freaking out, worrying, being anxious, and then thinking about doing something on my own strength, like calling someone, asking someone, begging, playing on the street, just like, God, I need money somehow. And then He's like, just pray. And every time I'll get an email, like, so-and-so has wired this much into your account. And it's always just enough, just in time. And that's kind of been the testimony. This coming Tuesday, I'll need to be out of the living room that I'm staying in. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, through a series of divine appointments, many found in this church, I was just up in Leytonstone and connected with the Cornerstone Church up there, which is putting on the conference I think a lot of you are going to go to tomorrow. And they offered, well, we've been looking for someone to kind of live in this 5-bedroom parsonage with a grand piano, and it's empty right now. And would you be willing to live there and worship and pray and disciple the people that come in? My passion and my dream, like I've been dreaming and dreaming and dreaming of like discipleship and prayer and worship and having community. Like, and I'm like, but I don't know how to have that all together. How do I make all this happen? So God gave me all these dreams, and I would try at different times of my life to make them happen, but, and they would just be okay. And God will even let us follow our own plans and our own dreams. He'll be like, I'll help you out, but I'd rather you just say, God, what do you want? God, because He has the best. He really has the best. And it's scary and it's not easy following. But the one thing He's really shown me, I'm going to share one more quick testimony. I went on a trip to Edinburgh last year. And it was kind of in preparation, I guess, for me coming here, making connections and stuff. But I was like, God, how do I get connected in London? And this email from 24/7 Prayer came up and says, come to their conference in Edinburgh. And I was like, oh, it looks nice. Delete. Just like every other conference around the world that you can't get to, you know, you can't afford. But God asked me a kind of a funny question. And He's like, why didn't you ask if you could go? I was like, I just assumed I couldn't because I don't have enough money. And He's like, when has money ever stopped me? You didn't ask. I was like, that's a good point. Can I go to Edinburgh? He's like, yes. And now that you have my word, everything gets provided. And that's how it goes. Because if you try on your own, it's going to just be a big hassle and a big amount of stress, and maybe it won't even work out. But if you have my word, everything gets provided. And so I'm like, okay, what's the first step? And see, God is all about partnership. He loves partnership. So I'm like, what's the first step? Are you just going to give it all to me? And He's like, no, actually, you're to buy a plane ticket right now. I'm like, God, I just told you I don't have enough money for a plane ticket. He's like, I didn't ask for excuses. I just asked for obedience. Yes or no? Are you going to obey? I'm just like, oh, man. So I need to turn off my logic for a moment and like look for a plane ticket that I can't afford. And just happened to find this ridiculous deal of a plane ticket that was $40 less than what I had in my bank. And I was like, oh, gosh, okay, so I'm just going to buy this. So I bought this ticket, and I'm like, literally, you have to provide everything else. And he did. A friend came up. I was like, hey, do you need a place to stay in Edinburgh? I'm like, yes. She goes, I know a missionary there, and they'll take you in, they'll feed you breakfast, they'll show you how to get around town and pick you up at the airport. I'm just like, okay. And then 3 days before I left, I had no money for food or travel, and just around the city. And two guys walk up to me at a prayer house and say, hey, God told us to give this to you. And they hand me $250. And I left the trip with just under 10. And I flew back into Chicago. I'd missed the train back home by an hour, and it was only one a day to my town. And so I had to spend 23 hours in Chicago. And it was like 7 o'clock at night, starting to rain. I was like, you didn't say it'd be comfortable or easy. I'm willing to sleep on the streets, but I'd really rather not. Can I have a place to stay tonight? And I'd been texting some friends, and one of them responded like, hey, we live downtown. Come stay with us. Eat our food. Spend the night. Stay as long as you want. I'm like, great. Where do you live? They're like, well, take the tram to the end of the line and get off. I'm like, shoot. I thought it'd be walking distance. I don't have any more money. Well, I'll just start walking to the station, and maybe if I ask nicely, they'll let me on. I come from a small town and am very naive about public transportation. I'm walking to the station. As I'm walking, it's windy, and a $5 and a $10 bill blow and stop at my feet. I'm looking around for someone to come running. Like, surely someone just dropped that. Like, this can't possibly be happening. This is something you see in a missionary movie or something. And so I pick it up. I'm like, wow, God, thank you so much. Like, I needed the 10 for the train ticket, but I didn't need the 5. I was like, thank you so much, but why did you give me this? And he's like, Chris, let me tell you something. I will always provide everything you need to obey every one of my words. But sometimes, and you can't demand it, count on it, or guarantee it, but sometimes I'm just going to give you stuff you don't need just because I want to bless you. You're my kid, and I love you. And that 5 is for lunch and a coffee on me. Welcome to the economy of the kingdom. And so my mind was just blown, and like that's kind of just how it's been. Is as I've looked back over my time here, over my whole life, I've never lacked one thing. There's never been a day where I've lacked one thing that I needed to obey him. I've lacked plenty of stuff to be comfortable or cool technological things, but I've never lacked anything I needed. And it's so many times, especially here, it's come down to like the last minute and the last hour. And like, it's like, oh, cool testimony, like after the fact. But during it, you're just like, it's kind of stressful and it's not the easiest. But man, the more and more he comes through, it's just like day by day by day, there's everything I need, everything I need, everything I need. Another quick little thing from yesterday, as I've been visiting Leytonstone, it's been really expensive getting buses and stuff, and I ran out of money last night, and so, but one of the guys is like, hey, let me buy your train ticket home. I'm like, thank you, because I could walk home, but it'd take 3 hours. And so he bought my train ticket home, and then I was supposed to come back today, and he's just, and I'm like, I don't know I'm going to get back. And I woke up in the morning, and there's an email in my inbox, and it says, so-and-so just wired $150 to your account. And I was like, jeez, like, oh God, do you always have to be last minute like this? Can I get like a little bit of advance? But like, man, he's just been so faithful, and he really has great plans. But a lot of times our plans, In the dreams he gives us, he asks for them back just because he wants to test us and see if we're willing to really just give all to him. And as we let things die, and it sometimes is painful, these beautiful, good things, as we give them up to him, he gives back even more, even better. Like, he really has the absolute best. And all we have to do is simply walk in obedience. And, of course, that's easier said than done. But it's really obedience. It will take us everywhere, and just each step of faith will arise. So, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your life, Lord. Thank you that we can trust you, Jesus. Thank you, no matter how big the challenge is, if it's what you said, then we're going to be able to do it, no matter what happens. Yeah. There's nothing that's going to stop us. And I pray, Father, what Chris has imparted to us this evening, I ask you, let it go deep in our hearts. For the simplest thing, let it go deep in our hearts, Lord. We don't have to have just faith for going to become a missionary. We can have faith for the next meal, faith for the next bus ticket, faith for the next conversation I need to have with someone who needs to know about Jesus. Father, faith. Kindle faith in us, Lord. We ask you for a gift of faith for every one of these people. Faith, Lord. Faith that overcomes. Faith that moves mountains, Lord. Faith that moves every obstacle and says yes and amen. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray particularly for people who've come up here who heard your voice and circumstances have silenced your voice. And they don't hear it anymore. And they feel the sense of loss. And I ask you tonight to rekindle in their heart, rekindle that vision, rekindle the faith, the hunger in the name of Jesus to do great exploits for God. Lord, rekindle. You didn't call any of us for mediocrity. You call all of us to live extraordinary lives, Lord. You call all of us to go over the top, to be ridiculous in the world's eyes, but totally normal in your eyes, Jesus. Let us break out, Lord. Break out of the imposed restraints that stand around us. And tonight we ask, break open the walls. Break open the walls. Declare, fall away walls in Jesus' name. Fall open walls. And let the glorious one come in. Let the King of Glory's will be done. Thank you.
And the Lord just is recalling this to my mind. The key for me and what it has been is when I first arrived, I was so stingy with my money because I didn't have much. I'm like, how am I going to make this last a year? A couple hundred pounds. You can't live in London for a year with a couple hundred pounds. And so I was pinching all my pennies, but wanting to live generously, but I just felt like I couldn't. And then God just opened my eyes. And he's like, Chris, even if you pinch every penny, it's impossible for you to maintain provision this whole time. So why don't you just live generously? Because you're not going to be able to afford it anyway. The situation is impossible. So why don't you just live generously? And so I started buying people meals, helping people out, like this and that. Just really just lavishing upon people financially. Because that's been my main concern. And there is always been enough. And that's when the provision started coming in. And God told me to sow into this church like the first night I stepped into it. And like I've reaped so much, not even just financially, but just like connections. And like through this church is where I connected to this house. And like God just is having, he's like, live generously. There's always enough in the kingdom to live generously. And he goes, if he tells you to send someone else, he said to me, Chris, if you send them, I'll send you. And I have unlimited provision. So just, it's all about obedience, not randomly giving. It's still just asking God, who would you have me give? How would you have me give? It's his money. It's not for us just to, shower here and there, but like being willing to like just lavish upon others and the needy. And there's always enough to be generous. And that's where it starts breaking in. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think we should break bread. It'd be so brilliant. Let's do that. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Chris, so much. That was such a delight for our hearts, really. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, this was a step of faith that you took. You trusted your Father. You were going to allow men to take your body and destroy it because you trusted your Father. You knew your Father was going to raise you up again. So you were just obedient, and that's all you were. And Lord, I want to ask tonight that as we share this meal, that will not come out of some slavish obedience, but it'll come out of love. Because in John 14, the word tells us, if Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So obedience must come out of love, doesn't come out of slavishness. It's just out of love, and it's encountering his love. And that's why the worship was so special tonight, because he was just pouring his love into our hearts. He wants us to love him more than we've ever loved him before, because he knows we'll obey him when we love him. He knows that. So because he said it, he says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. So come on, let's get in love here. Because love's going to lead to the most amazing obedience. And obedience leads to the most amazing provision. And that's how this kingdom works. This kingdom is so amazing. So it starts here with love. This simple act of Jesus was an act of obedience, but came out of love for the Father. So loved the Father. I just want to tell you briefly about a conference I went to yesterday at the one that Chris is talking about at this church, the Cornerstone in Leytonstone. And this guy, Dennis Walker, was speaking. I don't know if any of you know him. Quite a remarkable guy. Recently he was in Peru on a mission, and the Lord told him to start singing in this conference instead of speaking. And he began to seek, and hundreds of people ran up to give their lives to Jesus just because he was singing. You know, we think we'll be heard for our many words. But he was telling about he believes that everybody can get an initiative from heaven, a word from God about every situation. If you have to heal somebody, you need to wait on God. Go quiet and wait on God and let God tell you what he wants to do. And every situation might be different. And Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he says he only did what his Father showed him. So Jesus only went to the Father for every initiative. He never, ever did anything on his own. And he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything that you see me do comes from the Father. And so Jesus said, this guy was saying, all you need to do is come to Jesus. He'll tell you how he wants to deal with every single situation. And recently he'd broken his large toe on his foot, and he had to leave on a ministry trip within a couple of days, and he didn't know how he was going to be able to leave. And this toe was swollen and black and blue. And his wife said, you know, do you want to go to the accident and emergency? And he said, no, I'm going on the ministry trip. I can't have this toe in plaster. And so his wife said, can I pray for it? He says, no, you can go and find an initiative from God, say what God wants to do, and then come and do that. So she went off and called a couple of friends, and they stopped. They were just quiet. And then they came to him and they said, we've got to tip a bottle of water over your foot. That's what the Lord's showing us. It might sound crazy, but that's what God says. No crazier than the things Chris does. And so she poured the bottle of water over his foot. They put a basin underneath to catch it. And an hour later, all the swelling was gone, back to normal color, and no pain, and he left on his ministry trip. And he's saying, you know, at times Jesus made mud with spit and put it in people's eyes. Other times he laid hands on people. Other times he just spoke. But the other thing that was fascinating, he said Jesus never prayed for anybody. Shocking. And he didn't tell us to pray for anybody either. He said just heal them. You don't have to pray for them. Pray for them is what you do when you don't know what to do. So you just pray. But he says, what you already have, just go and do. And then he said, fascinating thing. He said, would Jesus tell us to go and lay hands on the sick and heal them and not enable us to do that? Would he do that? Never, ever. So you can do every single thing that Jesus told you should do. In Mark 16, he says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's all you got to do. Just go heal the sick. So this conference is on tomorrow if you're interested at the Cornerstone Church in Leytonstone. We can tell you how to get there. He's speaking all day there. It's really worthwhile and be brilliant. Okay, it's probably, I don't know, what time is it? Do you know, Dot? 9:30 in the morning. We'll tell you how to get there. Okay, we're going to take up the offering and then we're going to get some tea and coffee and stuff. I just want to read you something. We've had a week of revelation. I want to read you something out of Malachi. And you know the one I'm going to read, but I'm going to read you the interesting bit. And the Lord says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Then the Lord says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now listen to the good bit. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. And this guy was teaching this, and he says, you don't grow tomatoes for your living anymore. You would have at one time. But you have a job, we have a business, or you have God's channel of provision, whatever it is. But God says, if you tithe in faith, as I ask you to, I will put a greenhouse over your income or over your job or over your business. And I will protect it. And it will never fail to produce a harvest. It will never fail because he has promised. That's his promise to you. So he simply says, if you are obedient, I will fulfill my promise, just as Chris said. So by bringing up your tithe, all you're doing is protecting your job, protecting your business, protecting your source of supply. That's all you're doing when you do that. You're coming up here and you're protecting it. But then you get the added bonus. He says, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. What do you think would come out of the floodgates of heaven? I don't think Mercedes Benzes will come out of the floodgates of heaven, or Lear jets, or probably even houses like we know houses. What will come out of heaven will be what heaven can give you. There's no money in heaven. They don't use money there. So he's not going to send pound notes into your lap either. So what's he going to send? He's going to send inspiration. And every inspiration is going to be a thought which is going to enable you to create wealth. I believe God will tell you how to create wealth. I believe every month thoughts come to your mind as to how wealth could be created, and you probably just let them go. And you just think, well, that's not for me. I'm in missions, or you know, I'm not able to do that. God is sending you, if you're tithing, God is sending you the ability to create wealth right now. Isn't that an amazing thought? I'm just so encouraged. You know who told us that? A man who's in the 1% of the world's wealthiest, who's a born-again believer in America, and he did this teaching. It was absolutely fabulous. And he says, it's that simple. And they said to him, what happened if you were in a depression with no money? He said, within months, I'll be wealthy again. Because all I'll do is do exactly what God tells me to do. See Chris's principle? Do exactly what he tells you to do, and you'll make wealth. You can't help it. So you want to get wealthy? I want you to get wealthy. He's had how many? 15 people become millionaires in his church since he started it. So it's kind of worthwhile. And you can fund Chris's mission and Tony's mission.